verses out of either this evening. A few of the verses that will prove that God cared for, or always does care and watch after people that seek after His ways and seek to do His will. This story here doesn't concern as many people as when the Israelites came out of Egypt, but it does concern some people that was righteous and the Lord found favor in. I want to read in the first chapter of Ether, beginning with the 15th verse. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared cried unto the Lord according to that which had been spoken by the mouth of Jared. And it came to pass that the Lord did hear the brother of Jared, and had compassion upon him, and said unto him, Go to and gather together thy flocks, both male and female of every kind, and also the seeds of the earth of every kind, and thy family, and also Jared, thy brother, and his family, and also thy friends and their families, and the friends of Jared and their families. Now, as we well remember, this was the time of the Tower of Babel, when the tongue was going to be confused, and the people would not be able to speak one with another, and there would have been total confusion. But here was a group of people that had found favor in the Lord and was going to be blessed. And when thou hast done this, thou shalt go down at the head of them, down into the valley which is northward. And there will I meet thee, and I will go before thee into a land which is choice above all the land of the earth. Now this would be quite a promise. Now we have all heard this story many times before, but when we think of it, here was, I forget just how many people were taken here. I believe there were 16 ships, if I remember right, that took across the ocean. And I don't know whether there was 10 people a ship or whether it was 20. But they took their livestock, they took the seeds, and if we would, just to digress a bit here, if we went back to Nephi, when those people came across, they didn't take the flock with them. They didn't need to, because Jared had already, it was about 2,000 years prior to that time, or maybe longer than that, maybe not quite that long. I guess it would be maybe 1,500 years or so. Anyway, he had already taken flocks and things before them, and had peopled this land, and they had been prosperous and everything. And there I will bless thee and thy seed, and raise up unto thee, up unto me, of thy seed, and of the seed of thy brother, and they shall go with thee a great nation. And there shall be none greater than the nation which I will raise up unto me of thy seed, unto all the face of the earth. And this will I do unto thee because of this long time ye have cried unto me. And here was a man that had prayed unto the Lord and sought the Lord's favor, and the Lord granted unto him their wishes. They knew what was going to happen. And they knew that it would be utter chaos to them if it wasn't possible for them to communicate one with another. And the Lord granted them this blessing, and we can trace the history that they did come to this land, and they were a blessed people. And they did populate this land. And as long as they sought after the ways of the Lord, they prospered here. And to this day, we know that this has been a blessed land above any other land in the whole world. And we've got to consider that those people had to have quite a bit of faith too. If we knew something like this was going to happen to us, would we be willing to pull up stakes here and go halfway around the world like to Australia and South. It would take a little consideration with it. But I am sure that if we believe that the Lord commanded us to do this, that each and every one of us would pack what we needed, or we would go as we are, if He told us to do it. And that's the way it should be. But here it shows that a people that is faithful, that the Lord does look after. Of course, it's always up to the people themselves to take some action. We know good and well if Noah hadn't started building that ark. No matter how much he believed that the Lord was going to tell the truth, that there was going to be a flood, if he didn't take action, it wouldn't have done a bit of good for him to know that. But Noah at that time knew what was going to happen, and he made preparations for it. The same as these people were told what to do, and the same as the Nephites were told what to do, that they were to leave their homeland, to leave their property. But he was going to go before them, and he was going to bless them. Fortunately, as we recall the story, these people were a righteous people, and they sought the Lord, and they had a lot fewer problems than the Nephites did. Because we remember that several of Lehi's sons were not too faithful, and oftentimes they rebelled. And when they did, they had great problems. A lot of problems they didn't need to have. I want to go over here now in the 77th verse of this same chapter. And just read a couple of verses. Behold, I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life. And that eternity, even they who shall believe in my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters. I'm showing here again that those who believe in him are going to become his sons and daughters, and are going to be a blessed people, and are going to be watched over. And I often think of the verses that probably of the world, churches as a whole, is taught to their small children in the primary class, maybe some of the very first verses. And they are good. They're some of the finest verses in the Bible, and that's in that John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might have everlasting life." And this is a kindness that God granted unto men. That he sent his Son down here that he would be crucified and die that man might live. And another story that always comes to my mind is when we think of these verses, Christ or God allowing his Son to be sacrificed. And we can remember the other story that was similar to this in a way, was when Abraham took Isaac up under the mountain, and was going to sacrifice him when the Lord commanded him to. And I believe that all Sunday school boys and girls, by the time they're through the primary grade, has heard that story. And he took him up onto the mountain, and Isaac asked his father where the sacrifice was, and so on. It's been a little time since I've read it. I believe that we find it in about the 23rd chapter of Genesis, and it tells of what happened there. Now here was a father that took his son up there and was willing to sacrifice him as the Lord had commanded. But we remember at the last moment that the angel stayed his hand and he did not sacrifice his son, and that there was a sacrifice provided because there was a ram that had his horns caught in the bushes, as I remember the story. But this would be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? This starts to separate what would we say, the myth of the boys when it comes to faith? It would be pretty hard. We'd have to have an awful lot of faith to believe that the Lord would tell us to do this, and then to go ahead and start to prepare for it. But we know what happened, that Abraham's seed was to be blessed. I want to read a few verses out of 1 John, in the 4th chapter. I want to read 8 through 11. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this tells us a whole lot, doesn't it? A person that doesn't love people and don't like people, he cannot know God. Well, that's a pretty blunt statement, isn't it? Now, it doesn't say that we have to love what people do, but we've got to love mankind. For God is love. And if we had a little more love in the world, it's a sure thing that a lot of the problems that we have today will just surely disappear very quickly. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be our propitiator for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And if they could put this verses into practice, as many other verses in the Bible that's similar to this, they could wipe out all hate, all disorder in the universe in a short time. Because if we love somebody, to begin with, we're not going to hurt them. We're not going to steal from them, and we're not going to cheat them. And I often think of the people in the world that are nearly willing to do anything without consequence to their fellow man. Some of the things that we can think of is some of the land swindle that's gone on in Arizona. And the main type of people that they prey upon is people that is old enough that they cannot regain the losses that they lose. Usually people that are about ready to retire or have already retired, and they will sell them a piece of land, show them beautiful motion pictures of beautiful golf courses and places they're going to be able to live in their retirement. And by the time that they get there, they'll discover that many times that it's in a desert where there is neither electricity, water, nor highways. And this type of people will take advantage of anyone. Now, had those people loved one another, they would not have preyed upon these older people and take advantage of them. But there's plenty of people in the world today that's willing to do this. This isn't what God intended. God intended for us to love him. He loved us to begin with, but he intended for us to return this love to him and to love one another. And if the world would do that, we wouldn't have a whole lot of problems that we have today. I want to go over into 2 Nephi for a few verses here. First chapter, the 18th verse. Wherefore I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as those whom the Lord God shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep his commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of the land. Now this, where I read it first, was in Ether about the people coming out of that this same land or nearby there a few thousand years earlier, and here another people is being promised that they would be a blessed people, and they shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess the land unto themselves. And if it so be that they shall keep his commandments, they shall be blessed upon the face of the land, and there shall be none to molest them, nor to take away the land of their inheritance, and they shall dwell safely forever. And you know, this was a promise made to those people, and it would have been kept, and they had kept the commandments. No one would have ever disturbed them in this land forever if they would have kept the commandments of the Lord. But as we well know, that they went astray, and they become a wild people, in fact. And they could not expect to receive the blessings the Lord had planned for them. In reading in the National Geographic magazine a few months back, those of you who might have the magazine, told us that when Columbus discovered America, and in this article, it mentioned that some of the natives there would capture other children from the other tribes and would shackle them and leave them like a dog and feed them until they were big enough to eat. Now, we can't believe a thing like that. Now, this, can you believe that a people that was promised to be blessed like these people were, and were blessed when they came over here, there was time that they were blessed beyond any imagination of anybody in the world. And to digress that far away and to turn away from the Lord to where they were cannibals. Something we cannot even understand. But this is what happened. And this is what can happen to a people if they don't seek after the Lord. And many of those people were where they hardly wore clothes, if they wore any at all. And this, people say this would never happen again. But it surely could. And if we doubt that, we could go down there and look at those great cities that were built in Yucatan. And we've seen pictures of them. They had to have a tremendous civilization. People that was skilled people that could build buildings and roads, that provide food for themselves. And yet they turned this fall away. But behold, when the time cometh, that they shall dwindle in unbelief. Now he seemed to know that this was going to happen. But when the time cometh, that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after they have received so great a blessing from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth and all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by the infinite goodness into the precious land of promise. Behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer, and their God, behold, the judgment of him that is just shall rest upon them. Yea, he will bring other nations upon them, and he will give unto them power, that they will take away from them the lands of their possessions, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. Now we know this very thing happened. But the land was taken away from us. The Indians no longer, to my knowledge, have any land of their own. They live amongst other people. And this did not need to be so. They could have maintained this land forever if they would have been righteous. But they were not righteous. And to this day, as a whole, they're not a righteous and upright people. They don't seek after the things of the Lord. Of course, this goes for a large part of the world also. But these people were promised that if they did not keep these commandments, that they would be smitten and to and fro. The same as the Jews was given the same promise. But the Jews would have been an upright people all the time, or the Israelite people, no one would have ever touched them. They would have been the strongest nation in the world, and the only one of any consequence probably. But instead, they sought after strange gods. The Lord stood there to bless them whenever they turned back to Him. But they turned away from the Lord, and to this day, they're hard to find. Many of the tribes, we don't even know where they're at. In fact, it would be hard to prove where maybe more than two or three of them was at. It would be more of a guess than anything else. But the Lord promised that He'd take care of His people. And I believe that it was Johnny that, maybe this morning, where the Lord promised that He would open the windows and pour out His blessing that we'll need to be able to receive it. Can we think of anything as great? But this is a promise made to the people that they'll do the will of the Lord. We know that the God created the whole earth for mankind, that He might have a place that He could live and be comfortable. And it wasn't very long until mankind began to defile the earth, one way or another. And it was progressively, at times it progressively got bad enough that they had the flood. And then it progressively got worse and worse. And here we are standing again at a threshold of a time that possibly, to those that were a weak heart and a little faith, would be frightened to death if they could see what's ahead. But we know that before we have faith in the Lord and we can put our trust in Him, that He's going to give us the strength and we're going to be able to carry on, and we're going to be able to do the things that He has in mind for us, and we are going to be able to be a blessed people. And I believe it's in Proverbs mentions that 10,000 could fall at thy left hand and 1,000 at thy right hand, or something like this, and it would not come nigh thee. And that's quite a promise, isn't it? And can we remember the 2,000 young men that was in the Book of Mormon that went to battle, and every one of them were wounded, but not one died. And they fought with such vigor that they drove off the enemy and were able to be victorious with great odds against them. And how many more times has this very thing happened in the Scripture? It happened many times in the history of the Book of Mormon when the Lord blessed the people and was able to deliver them out of their difficulties. We remember at times when they was able to pack up in one single night and leave, and the enemy was not able to even follow them. And no one can believe that you could take several thousand people and march them off in one direction and the enemy not be able to find them or follow unless the Lord confused them to where they couldn't do it. Because you take a few thousand people marching together through this desert and you could trail them very easily. And there's hardly anything after it. And if it was more lush country than that, it'd be easier to follow. But the Lord has protected His people from time to time. And He's blessed them. He only asked a few things. Of course, we've got to keep the commandments, and one of them is to love one another. We must love God, and we must love one another. And then from there on, we have got to search the scripture that we might understand what we're to do. We meet together, as a rule, 3 times a week. We meet here on Wednesday evening to pray and to testify of the goodness of the Lord one toward another, and of his blessings, and we sing praises unto him. And we meet on Sundays to study his word. And then we have church where we have the word expounded unto one another, that we might hear a few words that we might have a better understanding of his commandments. And in the evenings we do the same thing. But we've also got to take time out in our own homes, as most of you do, and read the scripture and search it that you might know what we're to do. Now that seems strange, because basically, if we have real love in our hearts, it's going to cover most of the rest of the day. But there's a lot of other things that we need to know about. We need to read about the examples that were set by our forefathers. And this could take us back 2,000 or 3,000 years. What happened? What caused them to go astray? And what happened when they did go astray? And what happened when they kept the commandments? We know that they were blessed. And when they didn't keep the commandments, oftentimes a group of more wicked people came in and took the land away from them. And I believe that these things could exist today if the people don't keep the commandments and seek after the Lord. But we've got to study. I think this is a very important thing. So, for numerous reasons, not only for our own sake, but we need to be able to tell other people why we believe these things. If someone came in here and asked us why he should be a Christian, I'm sure we'd be telling him a lot of things. And we should be able to tell him why we believe the way we believe. It's not very apt that this is going to happen. Someone's going to walk in the door and ask us. But they surely will, in the course of your lifetime, you'll come across several people that will ask things of the scripture. And if we can give them a good answer and cause them to wonder more about the scripture, we might be able to lead someone unto the Lord. But as we well know, when the first people came to this country, that they were a blessed people. And still, the brother of Jared, apparently, well, he was the first person on record to see the Lord. And yet, there was a period of time that he even ceased to pray to the Lord. And I expect the young people's class could answer the question how many years it was. Jack, you remember how many years? How many hours? I think it was 4, maybe. But how many hours was it that he chastening. Does anybody remember that the Lord, when he came back and talked to the brother of Jared, tell us how many hours? 4 hours was it? That may be right. I'm not real sure about it. But anyway, can you imagine being chastened by the Lord for a period of over 15 minutes? Did you ever get scolded for 15 minutes in the road? Imagine the Lord doing it for 15 minutes, or an hour, or 2 hours. Can we even believe it? But I'll tell you, he turned around and he prayed to the Lord. And as we well know that he was able to come to this country and they set up a government here with a group of people that was almost unbelievable, their civilization, for a good many years. And they were a righteous people. And they sought after the Lord and they were blessed. And then they fell away. And they were destroyed. And still another group came, and they were destroyed. The righteous people in it eventually turned to wickedness, and that particular group of people were destroyed also. that this is something that need not happen. It could happen to us again, too. Now, our nation isn't blessed like it was 50 years ago, or even 30 years ago. Because 30 years ago, our nation, as far as a world power, was number one. And there wouldn't be a country in the world stand against it at that time. But today, we've seen many small nations defy us. And if that would have been 75 years ago when this would have happened, they would have sent in maybe a regiment of Marines and straightened the thing out in a few days, as a rule. Because they didn't want no part of it. But our country has dwindled. Not because the Lord isn't willing to be good to us and to bless us, but it's because we're not willing, as a nation, to seek after the Lord. And our nation as a whole may have many problems until we do seek after the Lord. And if we turn as a nation and seek after the Lord again, He's going to bless us again. The same as He has any people throughout the time. But He does love us, and it's our duty to love Him and to love the Lord.